Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
It's me,
Jalario.
Here we go.
Nice, they're scrubbing that.
Woohoo! Let's go! It's-a me, Mario, and welcome to this week's episode of Tom Grabs. Yahoo! Here we go! Thank you so much, Mario. It's good to have you back to celebrate Jalario.
Yeah, thank you for that, Mario. That was beautiful.
And welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game review podcast for everyone whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And joining us today, let me introduce him. He is Italian, just like me. Woohoo! Introducing my special friend, Adam.
Thank you, Mario. I noticed you didn't get an introduction. Dusher and Jackson got
Mario
to
needs
themselves.
No introduction.
Mario's been here with us for the whole month.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, like, he just, I thought it was weird
okay,
that he
fair
didn't
enough.
Get
and
to...
also introducing our special guest, Mario.
Woohoo!
Mario's got a bit of a Mrs. Doubtfire voice today, which I quite like.
What do you mean?
My children, I have to come back and dress as a housekeeper.
That's a great Mrs. Doubtfire impression, Mario. I didn't realize
you
were
much.
A cinephile.
I never realized this, Mario. You were telling me this before the show, but your iconic outfit is actually a uniform you wear when you work at Nintendo. He's just in casual dress.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's so true.
Today we are looking at Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games 2020 Tokyo. that's probably the name. And other games.
Thank you so much for bringing Jalario home with such a red-hot heater of a game.
I'm bringing it home with a bang.
Yeah.
So this is a game that I've always thought looked very funny.
Yeah.
The concept of Mario and Sonic, first of all, I don't know how games like this happen. I get they're like, because Olympic games are a thing.
Well, Mr. Nintendo, he picked up the phone and he called up Mr. Sega and said...
Get Mr. Olympics on the conference call.
What other Olympics games are there? I'm just trying
Athens.
To think.
Athens?
Athens? Most
what?
Olympics
what
that
is
come
Athens?
Out have a video game
really?
That comes
I
with
didn't...
them. Yeah, for years. Like for the PS2, PlayStation, there
yeah.
are Olympic games. And
that's
they all
crazy.
Play pretty much the same. So I get that they're like, well, the Olympics have happened. Not that these ones did.
Yeah, which is extra funny about this game. It's a relic of a thing that didn't happen. It's
for
fictional.
It's for a fake Olympics.
Fake Olympics.
No, it's fake Olympics.
Wow! Fake Olympics alert!
Wow.
That's the fake Olympics
That's
alone.
True.
That's
true. It sounds sick.
Whoa!
Wait, so there was never a
Tokyo...
There was never a Tokyo Olympic Games?
There was, but
not
in
2020.
2020.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, right.
But then
fake Olympics.
Wow. But I love that they were like, not only is it going to be a Mario-based Olympics game, because there was a Mario Olympic and Sonic Olympic game for the one prior.
Wii.
Yeah. Yeah, for the Wii, maybe. But why include Sonic in this? I don't understand.
Didn't the previous one?
Yeah, but
Sonic?
Why is the collaboration, the you know, Sega and Nintendo, the console wars, everybody, these are enemies, Mario and Sonic.
Well, that
but they come together for the Olympics.
Yeah, I mean, many enemies have come together for the Olympics. If
I
anything, anything, guess, it's probably just a comment on geopolitical relations.
I suppose that is what the Olympics are in a way for.
Enemies
so Mario and Sonic
together.
Can hang out.
Yeah, come together and have a run.
So the way the game works is like, imagine Mario Party, but significantly less fun.
Like, I'm there.
Way worse.
Yeah.
So from the get-go, you can do any of the Olympic competitions, okay?
Let the record show Adam just accidentally kicked me. What a dog.
Adam's kicking.
That's a not on.
You've I'm upset sorry, Mario.
Mario's
sorry,
pissed
Joel.
Off, dude. And in the first Gelario episode, we beat the shit out of Mario. So he knows what he's talking about. So you can do any of the events from the get-go. These include the 100-meter sprint.
Yeah.
Hurdles.
Classic.
Equestrian, which Whoa. Is very funny. You can be Donkey Kong on a horse if you want.
Can you be Yoshi on a horse?
You can be Yoshi on a horse.
That's kind of messed up.
That's kind of like a horse on a horse.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Immediately when you start the game, you pick which country you're representing, which is awesome.
A Nintendo and Sega countries?
No, you could
I
be
guess
like
Japan.
I'm gonna be, I don't know, Iraq, and I'm gonna be Shadow the Hedgehog.
So is there like a full roster
yes.
of countries?
Every
like 160
country,
options or something.
Absolutely.
That's wild.
That you can pick from.
Presumably, as well, Nintendo have accidentally because. What counts and what doesn't count as a country is very contentious.
They've made the decision for
yeah,
the Tokyo
I think that's
Olympic
very, very
Games.
Well, knowing that Japan is where Nintendo lives, I think that they would whatever is going to cause the most. Oh, no, but they like selling things. So I was going to say, whatever is going to upset people the most is what they're going to do.
I should go through them and see which countries Nintendo considers legitimate.
Yeah,
which
that's what
don't.
I'm thinking. Yeah, I think that's very funny. I guess maybe they just go by whatever countries the Olympics allows.
Yeah. It's also really weird because it
Yeah, that's probably a fair call. Whatever whatever country is a country in the Olympics.
Those are ones you can pick.
Although, as
any
we heard,
discrepancies would be very funny.
Yeah. I guess, although, as we did hear earlier in the episode, fake Olympics.
That's true.
So
that's
it could
true,
be fake country lists.
It also doesn't have any bearing on anything. Like, you can change it whenever you like, and when
Whoa,
you...
Oh, traitors.
And when you win an event, when you get gold, it's not like, because I picked Australia, got to wrap my hometown. They went like Australia wins, they're like Donkey Kong wins. So
Donkey Kong Kong Kong.
So yeah, I don't know what the point of that is. You can also, alongside the regular events, which are done in, you know, beautiful, crisp HD 3D.
Wah wah wee wah,
my wife. You can also do Tokyo 64, which is a kind of retro.
It's called Tokyo.
Because it was 1964, I think, is when it happened. So you can, and these are like retro versions where you're.
But also Tokyo 64, Nintendo 64.
Exactly. Whoa. It's the perfect opportunity. And you in these, you play as like Mario from like the original Mario Brothers or Dr. Eggman from the first Sonic game or whatever.
Yeah.
There's a limited roster of players you can be for the Tokyo 64 Olympics.
No 8-bit Shadow
eight
the
bitch. Hedgehog. Mario, you're an 8-bit bitch. I'll say it.
No 8-bit Shadow the Hedgehog?
No, you can be Dr. Eggman, Bowser, Mario, Sonic, Tails, Luigi, Peach, I'm pretty sure. And Toad. Yeah.
Wow! Wow!
You can be Toad. So I obviously did all the events. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But I was like, this isn't really playing. I mean, it's playing the game.
Yeah.
But there's a story mode sitting there that I got to sink my teeth into. This was the most arduous. I remember Final March to see where I was
in hell.
I
remember Final March to see.
This was worse.
Whoa!
Dude. I don't
know. Worse than Final Mastery alert.
I don't know who this story mode is designed for. It was really, really long. I wish you had your Switch here so you could check the tomes. I played it for a very long time, clocked it.
Whoa.
I clocked the story mode.
Unfortunately, the tomes won't be accurate yet anyway because you got to wait until 10 days.
Ah, it's annoying. You obviously, so there are like maybe, I don't know, 20, 30 events.
Yeah.
Right? You do these events, but so sporadically. Most of the game is taken up by... So, I'll tell you the plot.
Please do.
You've
qualified for
the
Olympics and you need to win gold?
No, so...
That's insane to me.
Mario and Sonic are at the Olympics in Tokyo.
Yep.
So are all their friends.
Oh!
They're hanging out, but Dr. Crazy. Eggman and Bowser have teamed up. They've made a device called the Tokyo 64. Mario and Sonic get sucked into it.
Uh-huh.
So does Bowser and Eggman accidentally.
Uh-huh.
They've wound up in the past in a video game.
They're in the past. So
Tokyo 64, is a sort of video game version of the 1964 Olympics.
Okay, we keep saying 64 Olympics, but now because they're getting sucked into a video game, I'm going to check if there
check
was a
Olympics.
Check in
case it's not, but that's where they go.
So are you saying they're in an arcade cabinet in 1964, or are you saying that they're in the past and it's a video game?
It's unclear.
Okay, so Tokyo okay. did host the Olympics in 1964.
So it seems like they get sucked into a video game version. This was designed by Dr. Eggman of the 1964 Olympics.
It sounds like they're just at a video game.
And the plan was that they would trap them.
Because I don't think the year 1964... canonically was designed by Dr. Egg.
It's also don't crazy to be like, you've gone back in time and into a video game. Just make the machine do one of them.
Yeah.
I guess the crowd for the events are like Toads and Yoshis and, Toads and Shy Guys and like animals from Sonic or whatever. So they weren't in the real Olympics. So I suppose it's just a
not
video
to memory,
game.
Not to memory, yeah.
Anyway, so... but
well,
then
I wasn't there.
Bowser and Eggman
fair, same.
Trapped as well. Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
Bowser's like, we are Jeffed.
Yeah.
He's like, we're not going to get out of this. He's sort of a goon to Eggman throughout this story. He doesn't have a lot of agency of his own. And Eggman's like, shut up, you idiot.
Yeah,
we can get out.
Strangle you.
Because I've got a plan. I knew something like this would happen. So we just need to get all the gold medals. And then we can put them in there's like a slot in the Olympic cauldron. And that can suck us back to real. Meanwhile, in real, Tails and Luigi are like, where's Mario and Sonic, our good friends? They discover they're trapped in the Tokyo 64.
Uh-huh.
That gets stolen by Bowser Jr.
What is the Tokyo 64?
It's like a video game console.
So they're in it.
Yeah, but it...
You're killing me. You're killing me.
They got tronned into Tokyo 64.
Yeah, it's definitely not time travel, Jackson. It feels like it ain't time travel.
Yeah, but if you got sucked into Dynasty Warriors, would you say you time
traveled
as
past.
Well?
You're in the
past. I'd be pretty confident I hadn't time traveled.
Oh, shit, I'm in Dynasty Warriors.
I guess
that's
I'm in the past. Yeah.
If I get time travel... Sorry, if I get sucked into Dynasty Warriors... I'm not going to affect the future
what
by
if you
changing
travel,
events.
What if you travel into the past and it's Joe and Mac caveman warriors or whatever?
I would once again be like, oh, thank God, I can kill things and it won't affect the future.
Well, if you kill Joe or Mac, it'll affect the future.
Yeah, they won't be able to fight the T-Rex.
And when their game comes out, it'll be Adam the Murderer and Mac.
But I haven't traveled in time, so they still exist.
It's unclear where you've gone.
So you can see how the waters are muddied now, yeah?
I know.
If you find yourself in Half-Life 1.
Yeah.
With a gun to Gordon Freeman's head.
And then in 1995 or whatever,
but
I crack open that game.
Time
and there's nobody to play as.
But would you be sure? If you recognize you're in Half-Life, and you know that Half-Life 2 and Half-Life Episode 1...
Yeah.
So Half-Life 2 Episode 1 and Half-Life 2 Episode 2 were in the future... Would you be worried if you killed Gordon Freeman that you'd wreck those games?
Have you stepped on a digital butterfly, Adam? Does not the chaos effect take place?
In Half-Life 2?
Obviously, I can't 100% put myself in those shoes.
Yeah.
But
you've never been sucked off into the start
true.
Of a long-running video
Few
game.
Few of us have been tronned like that.
Yeah. But I'm pretty confident I'd shoot Gordon Freeman in the head guilt-free.
So.
Then you'd have to take over as a protagonist. Would you be silent? Would you be leaping?
Be yelling all the time?
Oh,
I'm going to kill you, G-Man!
Not again.
If I am affecting the future, I will make sure there is not a Half-Life 2. They'd be like, damn, the gameplay rules, but goddamn, this lippy piece of crap.
I wish he'd shut up.
Head crabs, well, at least they're not dick crabs.
I say that every time I take damage, no matter where from.
At least that wasn't a dick shot.
Guns, at least they're not dick guns. When you pick up a gun.
Sweet. Ammo. Be sad if this was dick ammo.
And then at the end, I turn around to face camera. Yeah. I know it's the person. I turn to face camera and I said, that certainly was a half life. That feels like it went on forever. Quite the half life.
Half life? Well, at least it's not half dick.
Half-Life, my dick.
I finished this already. Half-Life's way longer.
Time to self-suck, and then it fades to black.
Wow, that's beautiful. Somebody should make that mod for Half-Life 1. Dick Life 1. Yeah. Anyway, so Bowser Jr. takes it to a person I'd never come across in my life called Eggman Negga, who's like a, I don't know who he is. He's Eggman's relative in some capacity.
And he lives in
Nintendo's real.
I gotta see what this guy looks like.
How does he live in real and he's in the video game?
Well, he's in the video game I'm playing, but he's not in the video game that Mario's trapped in.
Wait, so who takes the game?
Eggman and Bowser and Mario and Sonic are trapped in Tokyo 64.
Yes.
He looks the same!
Yeah, he looks identical. Eggman Negga and Bowser Jr. are in the real video game that I'm playing.
Who's taking the video game to them?
Bowser Jr.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
And Eggman, this other Eggman.
Eggman from 200 years in the future.
Well, there you go. He looks just like Eggman, but with a gray mustache. He's like, oh, I figured it out. We need to win gold to get them out of there. That's what he figures out. And so then a portion of the game is you and Tails. You play as Luigi, cruising around, trying to win gold.
Trying to pick up babes.
you go to do a bunch of competitions. You got to go into... So there's two overworld maps.
Yeah.
There's the Tokyo 64 overworld map, and there's the modern day overworld map. You go onto that. There'll be the locations you can go to are like the Tokyo Museum, the Tokyo Sky Tower, something gardens or whatever. And you go into these places, and you find various Mario characters or Sonic characters, and you talk to them. Some of them will send you to other locations after like a million years of dialogue. And I don't know why, but everybody just repeats the same thing. So you'll find Peach at the equestrian section, the horse racing. And you'll go up to her. Tails will do this motion.
Yeah, good for an audio.
I wanted you to explain it.
You want who? Adam? You look at the Adam.
Jackson is doing a gesture. It looks very robotic and rehearsed, so I could have very easily imagined.
Do you reckon Peach practiced
tonight? Yeah, I think so.
He's kind of gesturing. He brings his arms out from a closed in where his chest is, out to either past either of his shoulders, in like a sweeping sort of gesture.
Have an attempt at explaining it.
Typical
NPC hand gesture when they're explaining something.
Yes, that's what everybody does, and they'll make a noise. So Luigi keeps on making this noise. Hey. Luigi goes, hey. Oh, and then sometimes, I don't know what that noise, it doesn't sound like Luigi.
That's actually very, very, very accurate to my brother. That's how he talks.
Oh, hey.
Oh my God. We did a great job.
So,
I went to the Olympics.
I know, yeah, I saw.
You do all of these things, and so what will happen is Tails will be like, you go up to Peach, Tails puts his arms out like that, and the text box will say, Peach, what are you doing here? There'll be about a 10-second pause. I don't know why. Like, the game has to load the next section of dialogue.
I'm guessing literally, because I assume you've tried. Literally, no button.
Yeah, you can't skip anything. Then Peach will say...
That would have been the first thing.
Any of this dialogue, I would have been a heartbeat.
I think it's very funny that you presumably, Jackson, know more about the storyline to this game than any other game
absolutely
you have ever played. Because you were forced to pay attention.
I was forced to understand what was happening to Mario and Sonic at the Tokyo
Olympics. That's very funny.
And then Peach will be like... Oh, what's happened to Mario and Sonic? And even though you know, because it's been drilled into your head by every conversation any NPC has had with anybody else, they'll explain it again. And then Peach will be like, oh no, and explain it again.
Oh no!
And then Peach will be like, but I've got to go ride this horse. Help me ride this, like beat me riding this horse or whatever.
and then I'll join you.
That's what happens with every single person you come across. You're like, Mario and Sonic are going to freaking die. And they're like, yeah. Beat me at water polo. Mario and Sonic inside, then that you discover, oh no, actually, it's not winning gold in the present day that will help them. They need to win gold in Tokyo 64, which you already knew.
Yeah.
Right? So you were just watching everybody go around with the wrong understanding of what to do. But then you find out the battery.
Yeah.
The battery is dying of Tokyo 64. So you go back to Eggman Negga. He says, here's a battery
That Eggman's villain is Blaze the Cat?
Isn't it? Oh, Eggman's villain. She's in the game.
She hates that Eggman.
There's a part where...
An Eggman hates her.
So she's also from 200 years in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there is some time travel then, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
There's Sonic Rush has time travel, I think, which is where both of those characters debut.
There's a part in this game where you go to Blaze the Cat and she's like, I want to go into the museum, but there's egg robots in front of it. And she must have fire powers. She's like, I'd get rid of them, but it will set the museum on fire.
Do you think that maybe her name may have
Blaze
been
Blaze the
hint?
Cat. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's like, I'll set them on the museum on fire. I don't want to do that. And then you as Luigi got to beat the shit out of these robots. Anyway, the battery that this future Eggman has designed is powered by cheers. So you need to go win these various competitions so you can get cheered to make the battery power up.
I don't know why, but when you said cheers, the first cheers I thought of was not the cheers of a crowd.
Like the place where everybody knows your name. It's powered by Norm. Yeah.
Becca works there. Frasier's there.
Frasier's mean wife.
It'd be so funny if the game was a combination of the Mario characters, the Sonic characters, and the Cheers characters.
They should make a Cheers Smash Bros. Clone.
They should make Cheers at the Olympic Games.
Cheers at the Olympic Games.
Anyway, so then Mario and Sonic and Bowser and Eggman, they're fighting because they're like, well, we all want to get out, but we need to get the gold medal so we can be the ones who survive.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Tokyo 64 realm keeps flashing, like, because the battery is going out, and we're going to freaking die.
No!
In the present day, you've got to go around and get enough medals or whatever. This is always really funny because, like, there's something so hilarious about you go to the surf beach, and Donkey Kong's there. I know you've already got Donkey Kong in your party, sorry, but you go to the surf beach, Rosalina's there.
Yeah.
Rosalina's like, I'll help you out, but you have to come surf with me or whatever. And then Donkey Kong, because you kind of collect people, but that really only means that sometimes when you do an event, that person will be the one who does it. So Donkey Kong's like, I love surfing. So you got to win the surfing
competition. Does he dress like Funky Kong when he does it?
No, he's just regular Donkey Kong.
Tie and all?
I think he's basically nude. But it's so funny to see Donkey Kong with his legs spread on the board and then paddling with his big ape arms.
Donkey Kong's always basically nude, Jack.
Well, sometimes he's formally nude.
He's Yogi Bearing it most of the time.
Well, he's usually wearing a tie and slouching forward like a gorilla, which means that the tie would dangle forward and cover his ape dick and or nuts.
That's true. And gorillas have tiny penises.
Whoa! So
that's why they probably never model it,
It's there if you look. It's just there's not many pixels.
Yeah, it's true. In Tokyo 64, at the climax of the game, chapter 19, I think.
Oof.
Yeah, dude, it's grim. And the chapters happen seemingly very arbitrarily.
Yeah,
all of a sudden, they're like, it's a new chapter. And you're like, okay. The screen starts to go black on the Tokyo 64 thing, just as they put all the gold medals in and decided to work together.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The screen goes completely black. Then you watch as Toad starts to disintegrate.
Whoa, they're Back to the Future Toad.
He disintegrates till he's one pixel. And then that starts to happen to Mario and Sonic and Bowser. And they're all just like a little pixel. And then Eggman, for some reason, is the last one to go. And he becomes one pixel as well. And you're like, everyone's gonna frickin' die. Then they fix the battery. They come back to life. They come into real. You do the 100-meter sprint against everyone.
Finale.
That's the final. That's the big sort of boss is doing the 100-meter sprint.
Yeah.
This was a really weird section because they're like, when they're in Tokyo 64, Mario and Sonic are like, all right, we got to work together, but once we get out, so we don't all die, we can have a big, you know, sort of
100-meter sprint.
Showdown or whatever. So you get out, and then Bowser and Eggman are like, you didn't forget about our 100-meter sprint or our showdown, did you? And they're like, we didn't forget about the showdown. Let's do the showdown now. Yeah, let's do the showdown now. Good, it's time for the showdown. Let's do the showdown. That's what all the dialogue is like. Mm-hmm, and then they're like, we need four other people for the showdown. And I was like, oh, maybe I get the pick of all the characters that I've accumulated this whole time.
Yeah.
No, it'll just then cut to Peach, and Peach will be like, I'll be in the 100-meter sprint. Great, Peach, you be in the 100-meter sprint. Then Donkey Kong will come on screen and be like, hey, don't leave me out. And then
does Donkey Kong speak English?
All the apes do, they speak English. And Yoshi does too. So what it'll be, it'll be like Donkey Kong goes, ook, ook, and then underneath they have it translated.
Oh, is it in brackets?
Yeah, it's in brackets.
Yeah, so he is talking ape, but they can understand ape.
They understand ape,
is still... shocking.
No, it's not right, dude. It's not right. This feels like, and I don't know, but this feels like it was written by Sonic developers and writers. It has that sort of Sonic anime vibe to it in a way that Mario games don't have.
Well, Mario's writing's like...
Well, Mario never talks in this. He just jumps up and down and runs on the spot, and that's how you know he's saying something.
Mario doesn't talk, but Donkey Kong talks.
Yeah. Mario talks when he's out of Tokyo 64.
Mario doesn't talk, he just listens.
No, sometimes it's he says something, it just he runs on the spot to do it. And Bowser, when Bowser's talking, his toes just wiggle, because that's the only animation he has, I guess.
I allow that wizard. Wizard. I meant lizard.
So... you have all of the characters in the regular sort of like quick mode that you can play as whenever you like.
I love quick mode.
It's like called quick event or something. But in the story mode, you can unlock specific new characters, but only for specific events.
Huh.
Which is weird because...
give us an example.
So you, for the swimming one or whatever it is, I don't know what it's called. You swim, you know, like 100 meter lap or whatever. You know, you swim, you get to the other end, you bounce back and swim to the other side of the big pool.
Yeah, so 100 meter and then whatever stroke it is.
Yeah.
So like 100 meter freestyle.
Yeah, freestyle, because you can do many different strokes in it.
There's freestyle. There's backstroke. I always said backstyle, but I meant
doggy paddle, froggy paddle, doggy style.
Butterfly.
Double penetration.
The awesome one, breaststroke. You know why it's awesome?
Breasts?
Yeah, dude.
So in that
one... they put tits in the game.
I call it tits stroke.
Dude, that's awesome.
That's cool as hell.
I call it a great day at the pool.
So for that one, instead of going up against any of the characters that are available to you, you go up against Wendy Cooper.
Oh.
And then when you beat her, it says, Wendy is now available for 100 meter freestyle, which means that if you pick that in the regular quick play or whatever, for that event only, you can be Wendy.
As Wendy Cooper.
I don't know why they did this.
Didn't want to do the animations for all the race, for all the different
events. Yeah, I guess so.
Surely it can't be that.
Because there's, like, she's got the same animations basically.
Making a video game's hard as hell.
Oh, you're right.
You done it? No.
did you ever make a game in RPG Maker?
No, not an RPG Maker, but I did make one when I was studying IT at uni.
Talk us through your game.
Oh, it was very rudimentary because we had to do it from like, what did I do it in? I think it was Java.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So it was just
Hello World. Hey? 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 Hey?
Hey?
Reference.
Hey!
It was like you play a box, basically. You can move from one end. Across the screen to one end.
Made Thomas Was Alone. Whoa! And we didn't even know.
I did make
That's
Thomas
crazy.
Was Alone.
That's
I didn't
a
have
very
a narrator,
game.
Though, so they screwed me on it. I got Jeff Dom, the developers of Thomas Was Alone. And then I tried taking them to court, and they just wouldn't let me.
Oh, yeah.
They said, actually, you can't do that.
No, the judge said,
turn around and go home.
The judge is like, nah, you stink.
Oh, dude. And it's in court, so you can't do anything about it. He's
and then
judge.
He spat on, anyway.
Yeah.
that's rough. Yeah. Sorry to hear about your game.
Sorry to hear about Thomas Was a Box or whatever.
Actually, mine was the, well... canonically, mine would have been the prequel, so it's Thomas Had Friends.
But Thomas Was Alone is about him getting friends.
Oh, he used to have friends, but then he was a piece of Jeff to him, or whatever.
A piece of Jeff?
I don't know what words I can't. I can't remember what words are what.
You can
anyway,
say
he,
shit.
Yeah, you can say shit.
He pushed.
They say shit in schools.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was a piece of shit to his friends.
Yeah.
So
you
they
can call him a turd
away.
Too, if you want.
Yeah.
He was a piece of turd to his friends.
Yeah.
And they pushed him away, and then Thomas Was Alone. This is the second game.
Yeah.
Thomas learns to love. There's a second prequel game.
That sounds beautiful.
Yeah, and then Thomas Was Alone.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
In that one, he gets his
he gets
friends,
new
yeah.
friends.
Yeah.
The Sonic characters, it's very clear they didn't have as many iconic Sonic characters.
What do you mean? There's Sonic the Hedgehog, Amy Rose, Knuckles the Echidna.
There's Metal Sonic,
Metal
Silver,
Sonic, Silver, Blaze
Shadow
the Cat.
Sonic
Blaze.
Is a thing, right?
Yeah. So
that's Super Sonic, baby.
Yeah.
Same Sonic, just gold.
Isn't that Dragon Ball Z?
No.
Super Sonic.
Okay.
He gets all the Chaos Emerald.
Which was probably inspired by the Dragon Ball manga, yes.
Okay.
But like, so those extra characters.
There's Eggman, there's Rouge the Bat. She's the horny one.
You can't
she
get her the off the bat.
Is she...
Funny little joke there for you. No, you can only unlock her for rock climbing. For boxing, you can unlock one of the bad guys from Sonic Colors.
Huh.
Or Big Sonic.
The Cat? Is he there?
No.
Froggy?
No.
Cream?
No.
Cheese?
No.
Chaos?
No. You could only get the extra one.
Shadow,
wait.
But with guns?
Shadow with guns is regular Shadow. Like how
you
Supersonic...
You can play Shadow whenever you like.
Yeah, like how Supersonic is just Sonic offering up the Chaos Emeralds. Shadow with gun is just Shadow when he picked up a gun.
you cannot play... No, you cannot play as a Shadow with guns.
Can you unlock Vegeta?
Is Supersonic in the game?
No.
What the hell?
You know, what was that Sonic game that kind of was like a bad version of Super Mario Galaxy where it had like semi-3D worlds, but instead of being spheres, they were tubes?
Was that Sonic Colors?
It might have been Sonic Colors. Anyway, the bad guys in that that never appear in any other game are like these ugly-looking demon characters.
Hell yeah.
Two of them appear as extra characters you can play as opposed to... And one of the characters from Sonic Riders, the snowboarding game.
Oh, yeah.
Who's like a hawk or something? I don't know.
Is Sonic as a werewolf?
No.
Were-Sonic?
Werehog, no. I think they call him.
Yeah, Werehog. Sonic the Werehog.
Can't play as
but
him.
But he's already a hedgehog.
Yeah, but now he's a werehog, a man-hog.
What? He turned into a wolf man hog.
He should actually be a hog wolf. Because werewolf, were is like an archaic term for man. So it's man wolf.
Yeah.
But werehog is a man hog. He should be hog wolf.
And I guess a hedge is a bush. So he can't be bush, werebush.
Werebush, but a man who turns into a bush at the full moon. Chain me up! Eat me up!
Don't let me bite you!
I'll kill again!
I'm a bush.
I'm a bush now. I can't move. Put me in a pot. Yeah, so the events, you do all of the events in the story mode.
Yeah.
Except for relay racing, for some reason.
Yeah, weird.
Don't know why.
Teamwork.
That one's just not in there. There are three extra events called that are the dream versions of these events. One is like
I shouldn't have taken off that mask.
He put the mask back on.
Yeah, that's good. We forgot what he looks like.
One of the events is so they are dream shooting, which is like a really weird third-person shooter where there are targets around a map that you need to shoot, but you can also shoot each other. There is Dream Racing, which is like really, really bad Mario Kart, except you're on sort of futuristic surfboards, and it's one level. But you do get items that are Mario Kart items that you can use.
Whoa.
And there's Dream Karate, which I haven't played yet, which appears to be like regular karate, except you're on a big kind of geometric board, and it seems like as you move around the board, like you gain territory, like wherever you walk, your
Splatoon.
Logo. So it's Splatoon style.
My prediction is, just from the little description you've given me, it's not going to be anything like karate, actually.
Most of the events, some are really hard and weird, yeah. And some are really easy and boring. 100-meter sprint, you just tap A. As fast as you can.
Yeah.
That's it. And then if you get enough super juice or whatever, you can press R to do like a super dash.
Yeah.
And that's it. Then you get events like the discus, which was, I think I spent half an hour trying to master. And it was infuriating because Knuckles the Hedgehog would just throw it behind him all the time. And I couldn't figure out what the hell the instructions were telling me to do because it just kept on saying 35 degree angle. And I was like, how? And then I realized that it was a motion control and I needed to angle the whole switch to get that 35 degree angle. And then in Javelin, they were like, you need to get that angle again. But moving the switch did nothing. This one I had to do with a stick. I don't know why they were different. And
Olympics.
The stick is really sensitive. So the amount of times I just throw the javelin straight up in the air, all the time. Another really confusing one was volleyball in the Tokyo 64 with the retro one.
Yeah.
Because it didn't. So a lot of them gave you instructions, like the buttons to press. This one just gave you volleyball terms. So they were like, you win with a layup. And I was like, what's that? What am I doing? And so the only way I...
You sure you don't win with a spike?
Yeah, but it wasn't very clear about how to spike.
Yeah.
So I won most of the time by just waiting out Dr. Eggman's team and playing very traditional, boring volleyball with no spikes. The worst game is the marathon,
yep.
Which is a really, really long race between you and one other person and like about 60 or maybe like 58 toads and little animals from Sonic.
Yeah.
Like racing against you?
Yeah. But
68?
Yeah. But you need to. It's. So the way it works is it's like outdoors.
Yeah.
You need to you have a stamina bar. Yeah. Every time you press A, the stamina bar goes down, but you go faster. If you knock into any of the other competitors, you lose speed. If you knock into them again, you fall over. And you also need to go periodically across this race. There are drink stations where you go get a drink and get your stamina back. And you need to manage your stamina. And it takes about maybe, I would say, a minute, 2 minutes each time you're doing the race. And then you make it to the very end. And then there's like a final dash where you need to have enough stamina for to make it through. But it takes a million years, feels very tedious. Yep. And then it's very easy to lose. And then you got to do it all over again.
Like a real marathon.
Like a real marathon. So that one sucked. And that was like the second last one before the 100 meter sprint. That was the real main boss.
Yeah.
There's an online. You can play it online.
Whoa!
I found one guy from like Trinidad or something. And it was me and him in a lobby for, I want to say, 5 to 10 minutes before it was like not enough people.
That's sad.
I suspect me and that person are the only people in the world playing Mario and Sonic at the Tokyo Olympic Games.
Is this a call to action? Should everyone pick it up?
Well, it's a really weird game. It's like you play it, you're like, why did someone make this? Who was it for? It's for an Olympics that didn't happen. I don't even know how to give it a thumb score, you know?
Yeah.
Is it fun? Is it good? I couldn't say. The story mode made me want to kill myself.
Yeah, that's fair.
But sometimes the racing and the events could be enjoyable.
Yeah.
Is
it a good party game, do you think?
No.
Okay.
Because
can you play it locally with other people?
Okay. You can. Right. I would say it's a bad party game because some of the events are over in 5 seconds, and you can't do a thing where, because this would be good, right? You're doing it with a group.
Yep.
You're like, hey, just randomly assign us Olympic Games, like events, and then we'll just do it, and then at the end of them all, we'll see
whoever
who
won the most. Yep.
It's not how it works. You have to, between each event, pick the next event. So you can't do like a tournament or anything like that.
Oh,
you just have to be
weird.
Like, okay, hey, let's do 100 meter sprint. We did that. Let's do the next one. We did that. Next to the next one, we did that.
But you do still get like awarded medals.
Sort of. At the end, there'll be like a ranking and then it'll go back to the menu.
Like Mario Kart, right?
Yeah, but not as fun somehow.
Okay.
Like it just appears for like 5 seconds and it'll be like, hey.
So kind of like if Mario Kart made you pick every track.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Right. Between races, if it made you go back to the pick a track menu.
That's very weird.
And you also don't like pick characters and then you are those characters across the whole game.
It's pick the track, pick the characters, go.
Go, which also feels bad.
Yeah.
And then, but then because you do get some characters for specific events,
it makes sense.
That's why. So you're like, oh, we're swimming. I can be Wendy Cooper now.
Yeah.
Oh, we're surfing. I'll be Rosalina. Yeah.
It's crazy that they put all the hot ones behind these specific...
like Sakaar or whatever the name of the Sonic Devil is.
Yeah.
Or Eggman Nega, who I think you can play for karate, maybe.
I'm shocked you can't build a team. That seems like a natural,
idea. Well, for the relay race, you pick 4 people.
But I mean like a team where...
A country? Nintendo or Sega declare independence?
Yeah.
So you pick Australia and then it's like, all right, pick... because if they're not in if you can't play every single character in every single event, why not give you some sort of selection screen where you can pick 4 characters?
Yeah.
And then those 4 characters will hopefully be across any event you might want to play.
You would think so, but no. Yeah. No.
That's so
weird. That would be fun. And then because that would make sense. You pick your country, you pick your athletes, you go do the Olympics.
Yeah.
You pick your country, means nothing. You pick your event, pick of one of like maybe 20 guys.
Yeah.
Do the event. It's over in 5 seconds. You're back to it. You could play with your friends Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games and do every like event twice in an hour, I reckon.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the game's over. So it's infuriating that the story mode felt like it took about 6 hours, maybe?
Did
7 hours?
Did you actually check? Do you know?
I don't know.
Total?
This is an estimate based
on
nothing.
Funny.
We can check back in next week.
We'll check back in next week, see how long it took.
It would be 3 hours or more.
Yeah. It'd be so funny if it was like...
It felt like it took a million years.
You know, what I can check, though...
Oh, how long to beat.
I can go to how long to beat.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'd count just the story mode or then story mode plus any extras or something.
I thought
like that
there would be. So story mode finished, I beat it.
Yeah.
And then I saw that I could continue and I was like, oh my god, is there bonus content?
Wow.
No, you can just access all of the events again. So
what?
So like you
can, so you can like level select.
Yeah, but you could do that already.
But it's level select. Well, you could do that, but then you also get to see the cutscenes again, maybe.
No.
Okay.
So it's like you go back in and you go back to Bowser and you click on Bowser and it's like Bowser 100 meter sprint or whatever you played against him, and then there'll be a tick to say you've already done it, but you can't do it again.
That's so weird. Is it like for a time trial? Or
I guess you could get a better...
Yeah.
Can you make ghosts?
No.
So, main...
Oh, I'll make ghosts.
Main story of Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games Tokyo 2020, fake Olympics, is... On average, 5 hours and 55 minutes.
There you go. Wow, that was real close.
They spread out the gameplay.
That's if you're playing so at a leisurely pace, the average is 8 hours, 25 minutes.
It is too long.
Hey, you want to hear something even crazier?
Yeah.
It's the shortest Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games story.
What the hell?
Wow.
What
the
hell?
That's so funny.
So Winter Olympics on the Wii is 10 hours. The original Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games is 8.
That's crazy.
When they went to London in 2012, that was 7.5.
That it's too long.
Oh, sorry. Rio is the shortest.
Yeah.
When they went to Rio, that simply took 5 hours.
This game, so much of that time is like padded conversations where the longest I counted, the longest time between somebody saying something. And then, because somebody would say something, you get a little dialogue box on the bottom. That would disappear. Then you'd have, on either side of your screen, you'd have, like, Mario and Tails, and then, like, Wario and Waluigi, and they'd just be staring at each other.
Yeah.
The longest time that they just stared at each other, and it felt like the game was loading the next dialogue before anything came under, was about 20 seconds. Which doesn't sound like a lot.
Yeah.
But if you count out 20 seconds, and you imagine nothing's happening on the screen, and it's just loading dialogue.
Yeah.
It's not loading, there's no gameplay happening. You're just waiting for Wario to be like, yes, let's go surfing.
Surf's up Wario.
Dude, true hell. I think
it'd be so funny if to skip or to speed up dialogue, it's like press and hold or something.
I was tapping A rapidly, so maybe I didn't need to press it down.
Well, that's a lot of warming up for the 100 meter sprint.
Yeah, exactly. What you're gonna do is tap A. A lot of the ones you just tap A and then tap B to jump. That's hurdles and a couple of other ones. The hardest one, anyway.
Were you playing this on your Nintendo Switch Lite?
I was playing just on my Nintendo Switch.
Oh, did you think about detaching the controller?
I did that for a couple of them.
Turn it like on a diagonal. So
I don't
you got
know
better access to A and B.
I don't think you can do that for all of the...
Not horizontal, diagonal.
Oh, yeah. Well, for some of them, I did for when I was playing it on my TV.
Yeah.
With the... Yeah. And some of the... There's motion controls for some of them, but...
Chaos.
Just chaos. Anyway, I genuinely don't know how many thumbs to give this game. I think because everyone should try it, because it's my belief... I think it's my belief that...
Listeners, it's a $60 US game. Go out and buy it.
Yeah, that's... It cost me... I think, because I bought it on the Switch store.
I think it was like $70 or
$80.
$80.
Wow.
$80 for 1 hour's content spread out over 5 hours.
That's, what, like $12 an hour?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
That's a bloody bargain, dude.
$12 an hour for entertainment.
Are you kidding me?
Would you describe it as entertainment?
No.
So it's not $12 an hour for entertainment. $12 an hour for, in one word...
An experience?
Tedium.
Tedium.
$12 an hour for tedium.
Yeah.
That might also be cheap. I don't know the price of tedium.
There are also, in addition to the Olympic events, there are mini games that you do over the course of the game to like get passes for various Olympic events that you can then do for gold medals. These are also awful. One of them, the worst one, is you need to climb a tower as Tails.
Yeah.
And you have like these rings that you...
Why
do you remember?
Climb? He flies.
Yeah, I don't know.
Also, that should be Donkey Kong's role.
Yeah.
Mario, who famously climbed a thing to kill Donkey Kong.
Do you remember that Donkey Kong game, speaking of Donkey Kong, where it was like...
I remember every Donkey Kong game.
What's the one where you like move the stick and grab the next handhold and then move the stick and grab the next handhold? You know that one?
Yeah.
Mario Kart, Jungle Climber or something?
Yeah, it's on the Wii.
So
I saw Dusha flashback to a war he never was never
Dusha
in.
Dusha went to Nam just there.
Yeah.
It's like that game, except so your tail's holding onto like a ring, then you aim up with your stick and you press A and you jump to the next ring.
Yeah.
I had totally forgotten about this game.
Yeah.
Let's find out what it's called, because otherwise it will kill me and I will die on air.
I saw that.
Anyway, before this review goes for the whole episode, I know it's been long. I think everybody should play this game because as now one of the, I have to imagine, 50 people in the world who has played Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games, you just need to see it for yourself. It's an experience.
Does the Switch console or whatever let you know, because I know like Steam does this. Mm. It lets you know how many people are currently playing a game.
It might. I didn't look into it.
No,
one
it
funny
doesn't.
Thing.
Steam's the only one that does that.
One funny thing that I did see, because you can, there were rankings at one point when people were playing this online.
Sure.
For the 100 meter sprint across the world, nobody had gotten better than a B.
What?
Which means that I have to assume nobody played it long enough. Okay, in the world,
that's so
to master
funny.
The 100 meter sprint, the event where you just tap A.
That's so funny for an $80 game.
DK King of Swing is the game we're looking for. The Nintendo Game Boy Advance 2005 Donkey Kong
there
title.
You go. Well, I'm going to give that's Mario insane. And Sonic at the 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games a mystery thumb. Because
it really sounds like you hate it. I don't feel
but
like
I
it's...
finished it.
He doesn't have to for this show.
I didn't have to play through the whole story mode.
That is
but
crazy.
I did. Partially because I thought there might be a reward at the end of it, which there
like
was not.
Guy.
Yeah.
Unlock a secret self-suck option on the Switch.
The nude Luigi option.
Well, I thought...
Hey, that's an offensive.
Hey,
sorry,
don't to show my little penis.
Whoa!
Yeah, that's right. That's me, Luigi. I'm coming
Luigi,
to the studio.
Welcome to the episode.
I hear Jackson talking a mad shit about my game.
Interesting.
Your game.
Interesting,
Luigi. Why are you here?
Because I'm here to... I hear Jackson's talking. You remember I made you and the Sonic at the Tokyo Olympic Games 2020?
You suck.
Oh, my God.
Jar Binks. He's also
Miss,
here.
I let myself in.
Jar Jar, get away. You're not meant to be here until Star Wars Temple.
That's crazy. Jar Jar Binks, Mario, both in casual dress. Luigi, in your uniform?
Yeah, I'm just coming from work. I'm on my lunch break.
Mamma mia.
I'm making a new Tokyo Olympic Games game.
Nude?
Nude or new, Luigi?
I
both.
Guess nude would imply it's actually an old Olympics game.
Yes.
All the Olympics is Sonic. Finally getting good.
Mario and Sonic go to the first Olympics.
100. Athens Olympics.
One gold in the nude Greco-Roman wrestling.
Dear me. What a game. I think this is possibly, though, one final thing I'll say about it. I think this is the game where you can see Wario's nipples, because if you do the surfing game, Wario's shirtless.
Yeah.
And Eggman is funny because he's got a funny body shape. He's just a sphere
and
then arms and legs, and that's funny to play.
That explains why no one's getting anything good in the 100 meters. No one's getting that far. You get to the surfing game, you blow your load, and then you put the
turn
game
it
down.
Off.
Yeah.
Wow, what a game. Mystery thumb. Both -5 and 5 thumbs. Everyone should play it. What have you guys been playing?
So, I've been playing a little game that I actually got sent by Mr. Woo! Nintendo himself. He said, "Dear Thumb Cramps, heard you like games about little freaks." And I said, "Mr. Nintendo, you're goddamn right, I do."
You've never been more correct.
And Mr. Nintendo said, "Please enjoy this game, Pikmin 4." Oh! And I said, "Mr. Nintendo, I'm a freaking Pikmin guy. Yes, I'm jeffed up on Pikmin.
Yeah, look out."
Yeah, I think I spoke about this in my Pikmin 3 Deluxe review, but I originally played the first Pikmin on GameCube when I was a teenager, didn't understand it, was like, why do all my guys die? 30 days is too short, I'm freaking out.
I'm scared.
Olimar's dead.
Yeah, that's sad.
Planet
dude.
Exploded or something. This time, now I've come a long way.
Yeah, that's true.
They recently ported Pikmin 1 and 2 to the Switch, and I was like, I'll wait for the physical release because I'm a Pikmin head. But I have 3 and 4 digitally, so I'll probably just get 1 and 2 digitally too.
That's fair.
So I started playing Pikmin 4. Full disclosure, haven't gotten that far into it. In fact, I went so hard doing the stuff that is just in the demo that I barely progressed past the demo.
Nice.
But it was awesome.
Kind of like a first impressions then.
Yeah. So the demo came out and it did that awesome thing. And I think Ruby may have reviewed Pikmin on this very little podcast.
I think they did.
And if she didn't, she spoke to us about it in person.
Personally.
When the microphones weren't on.
Yeah, off mic. Yeah.
But yeah, you game starts, you play as Olimar for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Olimar has crash landed on a suspicious looking planet that seems to look a lot like Earth. Yeah, because the things you pick up to power your spaceship include a Game Boy Advance SP, Food. Baseballs.
Is the first Pikmin game on Earth too?
Nah, it's called... maybe.
I don't know.
So, just in case someone here...
doesn't know what Pikmin is.
Yeah, basically knows there's little guys with leaves on their head.
Yep.
And there's a guy with an astronaut helmet.
So, yeah. You are the astronaut?
Sure.
So
Ollivander or
Olimar.
The guy who sells wands, right, yeah, or whatever.
Well,
yeah, yeah,
in this one you can make your own guy. Oh, and dude, boy did I.
All the guys look so funny. In the demo when I played it, all the guys look so funny.
Yeah, so I made my
guy.
Did you
give your guy a little O mouth?
No, my guy looks angry.
Oh, that's good too. Pissed off to be on planet.
Yeah,
Earth.
Like he looks like a drill sergeant, basically.
God damn it.
I hate this dirty ass planet.
Yeah. Yeah, nice. So the story of Pikmin is you're like a deep space explorer, Captain Olimar, and sure, something bad happens to your ship and you crash land on this mysterious planet where there is little guys in the ground called Pikmin. And your ship is absolutely jeffed.
Mm-hmm.
It is beyond... effed.
Sure. It's jeffed enough.
It's
jeffed. It's effed. It's whoo,
yeah,
it's toast,
rough,
brother.
Rough stuff.
And all the parts of your ship have gone all over the planet, basically. So you've got to recruit Pikmin, which are basically like workers that you can befriend.
So are you always on a different planet?
One and two might take place on the same planet, but three and four are different.
But there's the same little guys.
Olimar keeps going off to explore by himself and crash on different planets, yes.
Okay, all right.
It's funny that Nintendo like to do, because isn't, like,
it came out recently, Pikmin doesn't sell super well, if that's what you mean. But they keep
no,
making
No, Kirby
them.
Is also set on Earth.
Huh?
Yeah, that's weird. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Kirby set on Earth?
Which
I don't
Kirby?
Think so. Kirby said.
Who's making the cars?
Kirby said in Dreamland.
No, but Kirby drives a human car.
Kirby sucks off a human car.
Yeah. All the humans are dead, though, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Kirby and the Forgotten Lands is maybe set on Earth.
Yeah.
He doesn't set it like
No,
Dreamland.
Isn't there a famous Kirby game where one of the levels is Earth and it's like frozen or like it's like post-apocalyptic Earth?
Is Kirby
this is true.
Set on Earth?
I swear to God. This was one of those things back in the day that every freaking nerd news aggregation site was like, did you know? You know?
Yeah, I know. Certainly I know the sites.
Did you know Kirby's set on frickin' Earth?
No, Kirby's set on frickin' Planet Popstar, except for Kirby in the Forgotten Land, where it's set in the New World, which is probably Earth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Canon for Nintendo games is wild.
Yeah, baby.
Kirby often fights God.
Yeah.
This is not a joke.
He fights the, yeah, like sort of Lovecraftian sort of entities.
If your power is to suck someone up and then take their powers, you're better to fight than God.
Yeah, absolutely.
Suck off God, get God's powers.
Yeah.
That's what
if I
do. I'm planning when I get to heaven.
If I were God, I'd be smushing Kirby out the second I could.
You know, if you put your thumb on Kirby because he's got no bones, he just. I don't
know. Do you know, how they describe the shape of Kirby?
No.
So, like, Nintendo, like, there is an official way that.
Sure.
To describe the shape of Kirby. He's shaped like a friend.
Oh, that's nice.
It is nice.
Yeah. Kirby. It's funny that Kirby in Japan was always like very cutesy.
Mm.
And then when he got brought into North America, they gave him a bad attitude for some reason.
Because that's a friend.
Well, yeah. Especially in like the 1980s and 90s where you needed a bit of tude.
Yeah.
You needed to be a bad dude.
Sorry, you needed a bit of what?
Tude.
Apostrophe tude.
Yeah.
If you didn't have tude, every...
tude? I thought it was tude.
Well, it's attitude. It's not attitude.
Well, I think it is attitude.
Attitude? Attitude.
Out of car. Anyway, keep going.
Yeah, so the plot of Pikmin 4 is Olimar's off exploring again, and god damn it, he's effed up his spaceship. Yeah, that's right, effed up his spaceship.
Whoa, oh my god.
So you get sent to go find him.
Mm-hmm.
This time you create your own person. You're part of a... collective.
Yeah.
You're not just a solo astronaut.
Cool.
Unfortunately, your ship also gets jeffed up. Everyone falls out of it. You got to go collect the guys. Everyone brings a different thing to the ship. And this time, it's like a very upgradable experience. Also, you have a dog now.
The dog's great. Ochi?
Ochi.
Ochi. Hell
the dog.
Yeah.
The dog's
I'm all
good.
For a dog. Is the dog... Because I don't understand
the
scale.
Dog's from space.
The dog's
is
from
the
space.
Dog... as big as like
dog's
you.
Bigger than you.
Yeah.
So the dog's big like
no, but it's not the size of a real dog. It's not a dog.
Okay.
It's like a frickin' Pikmin dog.
Yeah, yeah. Except, well, it's actually a whatever Olimar's dog.
Yeah.
I forget what
it is. But it is a dog.
Yeah.
Well, it's bigger than you, but it's not as big as a dog.
No.
No.
All right.
It's like if you had a cow as a pet.
Yeah.
Hang on. Horse-sized in relation to your character?
No, horse-sized in relation to you, Adam, my friend.
That's so big.
If your horse was a dog...
How big is the Pikmin
guy? Do you want to see a picture?
Olimar, did I get it right?
You're nailing it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Olimar, is he as big as one of us?
No.
So he's smaller or bigger than us?
He's smaller than us.
He's like the size of that Batman on the table. So he's like the height of a Smurf, if you will.
Yeah, he's three apples tall.
Well, okay, all right. So the dog is horse-sized in respect to him, not in respect to
us. Adam is to Olimar as horse is to dog.
I don't think he said that, right?
No. Ochi is to Olimar as horse is to Adam.
Yes, that's what you meant.
Adam is to Olimar.
Adam is to Olimar what horse, God is to man.
As horse is to dog. Doesn't that make sense?
Nope.
No, I don't think it does. I don't think it does.
Adam is to Olimar. Olimar's looking at Adam and being like, that's like a horse to my dog.
Yeah, you're right. I see my folly.
Ochi is a really good addition to Pikmin. Ochi can be upgraded if Ochi's a good boy.
Like any dog, yeah.
Yeah,
well, if Ochi's a good boy and you use him properly, he gets better at his skills.
Cool.
Gets more obedient.
That's
gets
good.
Stronger. So at the start of the game, he's as strong as one or two Pikmin.
Yeah.
But you upgrade him, he can be as strong as like 20 guys.
Whoa. The combat system in this game is more existent than I realized.
Yeah. So
I thought it was like a puzzle game.
It is, but there is combat.
Yeah.
Okay.
The combat is just throw your Pikmin at a thing, but you've got to be careful because each colored Pikmin has a different resistance, has different strengths, can be thrown further or thrown differently.
Okay.
Almost every enemy, if you mess up, will just decimate your Pikmin.
Mm.
So it's like a little bit like an Angry Birds if the pigs fought back in that respect.
No.
Okay. No.
It's like an RTS.
No, don't try to relate to me like that.
No, Adam, it's like your Age of Empires.
He's not totally wrong. It does have like RTS.
Okay.
Things, where each of the Pikmin is a unit.
Yeah.
And the units of different ability, weaknesses, and strengths.
But you throw, all of them get thrown.
Not at once.
Yeah.
But throwing them is how you fight.
It's like throwing them is clicking on the Roman soldiers you need to kill or whatever.
You're not.
No, but he's right. Yeah. So you throw.
Champ, it's like your game.
In Pikmin, if you want...
He might be right, but he's not relating it right.
In Pikmin...
I've never felt closer to you.
I love you, son.
Son. Maybe one day we could play a game together.
Jack Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to think.
Look,
think of
I
the
think
lyric.
I don't think I need.
It's the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and a man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when.
Pikmin's like Age of Empires. No, Pikmin's like Age of Empires.
We'll play together then.
I really think I'll understand it better if you don't try to turn it into
cats in the cradle.
Cats in the cradle. Okay.
So with Pikmin, so basically you play as the astronaut. So in the first game, it's all in this one, it's whoever you make.
Right.
Can't remember what I named my guy.
Mm.
Might have been Johnny Pikmin.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
That does sound like a human.
Yeah.
So you walk around a 3D space.
Right.
So it's like a similar exploration to like a Mario game.
Cool.
But everything is solved through puzzles and delegation, basically. So to get more Pikmin, you have to bring your enemy's corpses back to your base and they get sucked into an onion, which is the name of the Pikmin spaceship, and turned into fresh Pikmin seeds.
Cool.
Yep. There's things like Pikmin are used to break down walls to clear certain paths, and certain walls require a certain amount of Pikmin. And then you also get like more complicated versions of that, like, oh, this is an electric fence, so only yellow Pikmin can break through it because they're immune to electricity.
Sure.
There's new additions in Pikmin 4, like you can send ice Pikmin into a lake and freeze it.
Whoa!
Cool.
Have you done stuff at night yet? I remember that in the trailer.
But I've done lots of cave stuff.
Ooh, that sounds spooky.
There's also a new thing where there is an evil astronaut version of you that challenges you to battles.
That's awesome. So you're Pikmin against theirs?
Yeah.
That's mad. So, it's just like your RTSs.
Yeah, so in that you have to... So every time you bring something back to your onion, you get a point score depending on how heavy the item is. The heavier an item is, Adam, in Pikmin, the more Pikmin it requires to carry.
Okay, yeah, sure. That makes
so if
sense.
You kill a big enemy, it might require 15 people to get its corpse back to your ship to turn into new materials.
Yeah.
Also, when Pikmin die, their souls go to heaven, so that's interesting.
That's nice.
Well, Pikmin... a ghost, like the Pikmin dies, and then a ghost Pikmin ascends and then fades away.
The image wasn't the problem I had with what you just said.
Pikmin go to heaven.
Yeah, no Pikmin goes to hell. I guess they're incapable of sin, no original sin.
Yeah, that's true.
No Pikmin in the Garden of Eden, dude.
Yeah, that is right.
Yeah.
I'll show you a picture of a Pikmin dying.
Yeah, that might, maybe you'll understand it.
This is what they look like when they die.
Yeah.
Okay.
Show us. Yeah, I've seen it, but... Pikmin ghosts are spooky. Yeah. They kind of look like fish from front on.
Yeah.
They do, you're right. Yeah.
And they make a noise like,
"Ooh." It is sad to die.
Yeah, it's sad to die. You pick them up out of the ground, they went from plants to guys to dead.
Yeah, that is sad.
I guess that's kind of like what, it's just like a slower version of what happens if you pick a tree out of a ground.
Yeah, or a guy.
Yeah. The cave exploration system is... So you can't take your Pikmin in there. You just have to take the ones that you find in the cave.
Oh, okay.
And there's special Pikmin in there, which are like the ice ones that you then can take back to the overworld and use that to solve new puzzles. There's a lot of things going on, and playing Pikmin 4 really reminded me that Pikmin 3 was actually a Wii U port.
Because
this is way more complicated.
Yeah, fair. You knocked out Pikmin 3 in like...
Yeah, how long to beat
it? The time it took me to beat Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games.
Yeah, because the time, how long to beat on it, I feel like just main story, is like 8 or 9 hours, but I did it in 5 in my first playthrough.
Yeah,
and
crazy.
I didn't think I was flying through it.
Yeah.
But apparently
there
I was.
There you go.
I got Pikmin brain.
You got Pikmin brain.
I know how to do it. You throw the guys. And
a mind
they just sort
for
it out.
Pikmin.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, having a really good time. Definitely going to keep playing it. Haven't played it as much as I would have liked to before doing this review, and that's because I've been sucked off big time by Tears of the Kingdom again. I just like dipped your toe, and then made a little bit of progress, and I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, I can't, if I dipped my toe during my Olympic sort of madness, I would never go back to the Olympics.
I've started the events of the my final temple on the surface.
Whoa. Garuda Temple?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I just fought a war.
Good stuff.
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on, dude.
Bought some new pants that make me run quick in the sand.
Yeah, those are good pants.
I've heard, what was before Tears of the Kingdom?
Breath of the Wild.
Breath of the Wild.
I almost said Breath of the Kingdom.
I've heard Breath of the Wild described as like it feeling like a demo for Tears of the Kingdom at this point. Would you describe that as accurate?
No.
No, not really.
I feel like that's rude to Breath of the Wild, which... is
I feel like they just very categorically feel like a sequel more than a demo for it.
Yeah.
Like it's more complex and there's more going on, but still Breath of the Wild. Yeah.
I think Breath of the Wild rewards things like exploration more.
Yes, I agree.
And I know that like traversal in Tears of the Kingdom is more fun.
Yeah.
But I feel like you climb a mountain in Breath of the Wild, and because that's very hard to do, you stand on it and then you see something, you're like, whoa.
Yeah, I'm gonna go check that out.
We're in Tears of the Kingdom, you're flying around so often, you're in the sky,
you're
underground.
Yeah, there's heaps going on.
I'll say that Breath of the Wild exploration is pretty similar to exploring the depths.
Yes, yeah. True.
Okay.
Which is a thing in Tears of the Kingdom. Tears of the Kingdom has 3 maps on top of each other.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's good.
Kind of like
fun.
Elden Ring.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a gentleman.
I actually don't know Elden Ring either.
What just happened to you?
That was weird.
I tried.
Only related. I say.
Yeah. We'll play together. Then.
That was very funny that you did it, and then we were both in the dark.
Yeah.
Then you figured it out, and it was just me in the dark. And
then
you,
we both did the same
thing.
He was
thing the
again.
Conduit because he did it a second time. I was like, oh yeah,
cats in the cradle and Elden Ring,
Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom.
They're kind of like Elden Ring.
We'll play together then. You know we'll play together then.
Cat Stevens, also in casual clothes.
Yeah,
Cat Stevens doesn't sing that song.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Freaking...
Wow.
I don't know.
Yeah,
Cat Stevens is father and son.
Yeah.
Sure.
And teeth of the Tillerman.
Yeah, that's true. That's a true thing.
You got so aggressive.
Yeah.
Well, he cares about his cat Stevens.
Yeah,
well,
I care about my cats in the cradle.
Yeah, that's fair.
A lot of people hate that song.
That's a
I think
song.
It's a great
that's
song.
It's a banger. Yeah.
You know we'll have a good time then. But then he's
you're
too...
getting a little Elvis with it.
No, I have a good time then.
I think I was getting a little, who's that band that it's funny to hate?
Nickelback?
Yeah. You know I have a good time
Chad
then.
Chad Kroeger, the lollipop line? No, the paddle pop line. The, yeah.
Look at this game, Dad. Every time I do a makes me sad. I'm gonna relate to you, son. We're gonna have lots of fun.
This is a real Cats in the Cradle episode. I hope there's a father and son out there using this episode to bond. That'd be my dream.
Pikmin 4 rocks, 5 thumbs. Yeah, I'll keep playing it. Tears of the Kingdom, 10 thumbs, yeah, still so still easily. Good. I'm like 80 hours in, I think, and can't stop.
Mm-hmm.
Won't
mm-hmm.
stop.
Well, yeah, fair enough,
can't
dude.
Can't stop addicted to shindig. My dad and I play video games. Adam, what have you been playing?
I've been playing Star Wars Battlefront 2 from 2005.
Oh, the original Battlefront 2.
Nice.
The good
rolls.
One.
Yeah, the good one.
Hell
I've
yeah.
played both, and I can definitely say I much prefer. I mean, it's obviously, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so actually, the beginning. I'm going to begin the review by
saying.
Side
note, did you ever play Galaxy at War, the Age of Empires Star Wars game?
The Age of Empires Star. Oh, no, I know.
The
never
RTS
really
Star Wars.
No,
yeah,
I didn't. Damn.
A kind listener sent it to me on Steam.
Mm,
cool. Yeah. That's oh, you'll have to let me know if it's
can
any
you be
good.
Gungans?
Yeah, if I remember correctly, yes.
I gotta play this game.
Oh, yeah, they were added in DLC, which this includes. Battle droids as well?
That's cool, dude. Ooh.
Roger, roger. That's the thing they say.
Yeah. Roger, roger.
Yeah, first thing, I'd like to begin by saying that the 05 version, if you played it as a kid,
yeah.
it is still as good.
Oh, that
yeah,
as
it's
when
not
you
nostalgia glasses, it's just wrong.
This
truly
was the one,
is fun.
It was for PS2,
yeah.
Yeah? Yeah? Yeah, I played this. It always makes me think of popcorn, this game, for some reason, because
really?
When I was a kid... Or
you
like
played
a...
it at the movies?
Yeah, I went to the cinema to play.
Yeah, that's
no,
awesome.
Just...
I went to the cinema to see Star
Wars. I want to see the new Star Wars. Oh, there's a new Star Wars movie out? No.
No. Couldn't be more wrong. No, it just whenever I played it at a friend's house, and we played it all the time. He was one of those friends that just had heaps of microwavable popcorn.
Yeah, fair enough.
So yeah, it just always makes me think of that. Great game.
I associate San Andreas with microwave popcorn because I had a friend that also...
Everybody had a microwave popcorn friend.
I think microwave popcorn must just be like a go-to after-school snack.
Yeah, but like it was never for my family.
No.
But for some families, clearly it must
have been.
For
my family, it was like, I don't know, eat some fruit or like a...
Rice Krispie
biscuit
like a,
or something.
One of those rice cakes.
I believe
or something.
I was the microwave popcorn friend.
There's always one.
I can see that. I can see that. I don't know what that means, but I can see that in you.
What we would also do sometimes as well, if we didn't have microwave popcorn, we might still have the like air popped sort of popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
And what we'd do is open that up, put that in a bowl, put a bit of butter on top. Because that would always just be salted. It wouldn't be buttered.
Mm-hmm.
Put that in a bowl, put some butter on the bowl, microwave that.
They'd be like, why is my popcorn soggy? Oh, it's because I put butter on it and put it in the microwave.
No, it worked. Well, yeah. It was good.
Hot
came dog. Out great.
Hey,
I had to stop because my mum got upset because we were using all the butter.
That's awesome. Oh, you know, it was a great after school snack. And this was like when I was older, like let's say 16 to 18, coming home and making yourself some nachos.
Oh, I never did that.
I never did that.
I would
that
be a 2 minute noodles guy. Come home and make yourself some 2 minute noodles.
I started becoming...
Oriental flavor. Don't know what the optics on that are anymore, but...
you still get that flavor?
I think it's still available.
That's messed up.
That's very funny. What the hell is Oriental flavor? I don't know what that means.
The less you say it, the better I'll feel, though.
Yeah.
Maggie, get in contact with the show.
We're gonna let you know, Maggie, what you should be doing.
Mee Goreng became like an after-uni food
for
me.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. I mean, the first time I ever had Mee Goreng was at a party when I was maybe like 18 or
something.
Awesome
to have Mee Goreng at a party.
Well, somebody did, you know, like somebody was just hammered and they went to some, it was not their house, and they went to a cupboard and they took out all the Mee Goreng and then a huge wok. And
that's
did
awesome.
Like, it was like 8 Mee Gorengs in the one pot, and it was my first introduction.
That's awesome.
It.
I just want to quickly tell a story, speaking of being drunk at a party,
sure.
of just insane things people do where you're like, what happened there?
Yeah.
Former guest of this show, who sadly did die when Mr. Ads crashed their car into us, Hayden, went to a party once where his friend took all the lids off everything in the fridge, opened every beer.
That's the best prank there is. That's
awful. Like, all the sauce bottles just opened everything.
That's so good.
That's good stuff.
That's really powerful.
Also, Adam, I know we're talking about Battlefront 2.
It's okay.
But do you think it's awesome that Battlefront 3 has been cancelled twice?
I absolutely adore it.
That's so good.
The original series, they cancelled 3, and then with this one, they're like, yeah, we're going to make a third
one. Getting rid of it.
No, we're not.
Cancelling the original one hurt a bit.
Yeah.
Cancelling this, the most recent one or whatever, who cares?
Yeah. Especially when we're getting games like Star Wars Jedi Survivor and Star Wars Outlaws, which maybe has a cooking system, I heard earlier this week.
Why do people think cooking systems are fun?
Breath of the Wild.
Breath of the Wild's one is fun. Every other cooking system I've ever had... Who cares?
Do you know in Breath of the Wild, you can if you mess up a recipe, you make a food that's called disgusting food and it's blurred out?
I am aware of that, actually,
And Link looks very unwell when he eats.
Yeah, he's unhappy about it.
Does it give you any benefit?
Yeah, sometimes it gives you like one heart.
I think it's a quarter of a heart, usually, or one heart.
Sometimes you can make one that gives you two. I've done that before.
You would have had to waste some pretty valuable resources to do that. Chuck in like a... hearty truffle.
Yeah, hearty truffle and then like
put a golden apple and then a dog dirt.
Wasting a hearty truffle on that. What a loser.
You're nailing it, dude.
And a golden apple?
Yeah.
From Minecraft. All the way from Minecraft. Golden apple. That's cool.
But then putting in a Hinox balls or something.
Yeah.
Hinox balls. P.U.
It'd be like, Adam, if...
You had centurions? Far out. What are other Roman guys?
Centurions. I think you mean centurions.
Sure.
If you had if you had a plasma sword in Halo 4.
All right.
And then you came across a pistol with no bullets and you ditched the plasma sword for the pistol with no bullets.
Needler?
What's that? Needler's good? No. Needler's good. Good Needler's good.
The original pistol after they nerfed and removed the scope.
That's pretty messed up.
It's a waste.
Cats in the Cradle, baby. We're doing it.
You know we're gonna play together then.
Okay, so tell me, how are you playing it?
What?
Battlefront 2.
Oh, right.
The game you're reviewing.
Come on.
Yeah, sorry.
Keep up.
So I played all the way through, well, I'll get into the proviso in a sec. With one proviso, I played all the way through campaign, and then I also did a Galactic Conquest, which I had completely forgotten was in that game.
I don't know what it is. My God,
it rules. It's so much fun. I'll start with the story mode, though.
Yeah.
The story mode, the amount of effort, because they get the voice actor, they get the guy who played, I forget which Fett is which Fett, but in the...
So here's the thing, Django and Boba, same actor.
Yeah.
But one of them is a child and the other one's an adult.
In later, okay, so if they're voicing it, Django is adult.
Okay.
Wait, do you play as the kid?
No, you don't play as anyone. You play as like an unnamed...
It's a game we don't play as anyone.
That's a movie.
You play as kind of just a member of the 501st Legion.
Okay.
They never really name you. You just get a...
You're a clone trooper.
Yeah, you play as a clone trooper. The guy, I forget the actor's name, Jango Fett, whoever who plays Jango Fett, the clone trooper they get to voice...
Aquaman's dad.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The guy they get to voice it, he is incredible. His voiceover work knocks it out of the damn park.
Hell yeah,
it's so good. There's this part where one of the levels is you're going back to Genosis because they... this is like after the turn, after Order 66. The Genosians are kind of like on the Republic side, so you got to go back and destroy because they're making clones that are fighting for the rebels or whatever.
Yeah.
And he has this really great line, this introductory line where he's talking about how weird, how awful and scary it was to hear their own screams when they shoot people.
It was a great line delivery by Tamura Morrison.
I would say it's a great line delivery by
Tamura. Did you just know that?
Yeah, I just knew that.
Oh my God.
He's New Zealand's very own.
That's crazy.
Great actor.
Yeah, good stuff.
Anyway.
He's sad in Book of Boba Fett. It's because Boba Fett doesn't know what the hell's going on.
He's also sad in the Obi-Wan show.
Is he in Obi-Wan?
You very briefly see him. He plays a...
Oh, yeah. He's like a homeless clone trooper in Tatooine.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway,
he's also pretty sad in the back half of Attack of the Clones when he gets his head cut off.
Is he sad or dead?
He can be both.
He can be both, yeah.
I think he can be briefly terrified, then nothing.
I reckon he could be briefly sad, then nothing.
Well, it depends how you die, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you get your head cut off by a Jedi.
Briefly terrified,
Actually, no, I do recall the exact scene where he gets his head cut off, and I think it would be terrifying, yeah, because if you recall, he's got the blaster and he's firing it. I think it's Samuel L. Jackson.
Deflects the blaster, cuts his guns in half, cuts off his head.
I'd be scared. My last thought, I don't think I could say it properly.
Yeah.
Which one's the F word? F or Jeff?
Jeff is F.
All right, Jeff is F.
Jeff is F. F is C.
Yeah.
All right. So, I think these were his last thoughts.
Yeah.
Jeff.
What about Boba Fett's last thoughts before going into the Rancor pit after having their jetpack hit?
Oh, that'd be F F F F. That's gotta be right.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right.
I think his actual last words in Return of the Jedi are.
I hate his jetpack that only goes up. It pisses me off so much.
What do you mean?
He can't control it. It seems like every time he does it, just gives him a big jump. He can't move left or right. He just goes up. That's absurd.
Did you like when he hired worms to kill Queen Amidala?
I really did.
Yeah.
That does not surprise me in the least.
Did he hire them to get away?
Yeah.
Did he buy them somewhere?
No. He hired them.
Oh, okay.
So the story mode has, it's just, you go through every single map, pretty much every single map in the game.
Yeah.
With just slightly different or more interesting objectives, which I really appreciated.
Yeah.
With one exception.
Yeah.
There is when the map where you're doing Order 66, it's the one in the Jedi Temple. First off, I don't know if maybe I didn't achieve something right, but you don't get to play as Anakin. Which I thought was BS.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you fight a lot of Jedi in that one.
You can say bullshit.
Yeah.
That is just scientifically a thing that comes out of bullshit.
Okay, yeah, well, it's bullshit.
You're allowed to say that, yeah.
And then there's this one objective. Anyone who's played the game might remember this, where you need to defend the Jedi archives.
Uh-huh.
Because they're destroying the archives before you can download them or whatever.
Anakin does that.
Yeah.
I reckon the entire campaign.
That's when he kills the younglings too.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I get why I can't kill younglings, but there's like at one point where you got to kill three Jedi Masters, then you got to kill one really powerful Jedi Master.
Yeah.
I don't know why I couldn't be Anakin for that part.
Weird.
Anyway.
Who'd you play as instead?
You just the guy that you always play as.
Clone Trooper. Weird.
Yeah,
Did you play as the Clone Trooper the whole time?
Yeah.
Huh. Well then, wouldn't it have been weird?
Sorry. Some maps. Some maps you do. I thought you meant just on that specific map.
No, okay.
Sometimes the game's like, "Hey, would you like to play as a hero doing a specific thing?"
And you're like, "No! I want to shoot and kill the Jedi scum."
Yeah, yeah.
The one, it's very funny how epic Jedi are often made to be.
Yeah.
I reckon my one random clone trooper killed in the course of the campaign killed like. I want to say 100 Jedi. I don't think that's an exaggeration either.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Anyway, trying to defend the Jedi archives, if the entire campaign takes 10 hours to get through, I reckon, no exaggeration, 2 hours is just defending.
What the hell?
That again and again and again. You have to defend it for 2 minutes. It is impossible until I worked out. So I kept getting this bug where if I clicked away from anything except an engineer trooper, if I clicked anything else on the screen, it went black and I couldn't play the game. I looked it up and someone's like, it's the Discord overlay. Turn that off and the game fixes itself. And I did that. But I worked out because I was on that level when I had the problem, when I decided to try properly trying to fix the problem. And I realized something about the Discord overlay as well messed with the Jedi's.
Oh, they're
it messed with them. And that was when I started having too much trouble. So I had to turn the Discord overlay back on to give myself a chance at that.
That's so
objective.
Funny. You had to scramble their brains.
I still couldn't because after that point, I had to kill so many Jedi Masters. I just couldn't.
Yeah.
So I found out that you can just level skip, and I never finished that one
level. Wow, that hole.
Yeah, I just gave up on that one level.
Far out.
Two, three words to get good scrub.
It I would get into the room that I had to defend, and then I would immediately die, and in the time it took me to respawn, I lost.
Wow.
It was so frustrating. Apart from that, it ruled.
Hell yeah,
dude. It was
so
fun. There are so many, like, different little... Every now and then they introduce something new, like an objective that you never really think about, or some character that you wouldn't normally encounter.
That's
and it's a blast.
It makes me want to play it again.
Yeah.
It's such
a
fun game.
Highly recommend it. And then I played the Galactic Conquest, where you get a big map of the star system.
Yeah.
Some of the locations have planets, and you're playing as... You get the two factions. The Rebels and the Empire, the Droid Army and the Clone Army. You pick whatever period you want to play in. And then you're slowly trying to conquer the map.
Yeah.
You can buy upgrades, which can be extra ships, which you can only make at planets, which has an interesting, do you want to control systems or do you want to control planets? Because then you have more opportunities to make ships. Your enemy has fewer opportunities to make ships. And then you can buy upgrades. And then you also need to unlock all the different classes as well. It was a lot of fun.
That's crazy. Did you play this with a keyboard and mouse or did you play it with a gamepad?
Yeah, keyboard and mouse, yeah.
Okay.
Do you have a controller for your computer?
I do, yes.
Do you prefer a controller or keyboard
and
mouse?
I mean, in some games...
Because it's a third-person shooter, right?
Yeah.
Battlefront.
It could be first or third.
Oh, I didn't know it could be first person. This changes everything.
Did you play it in first person?
I played in first person when I'm in a trooper, third person when I'm in a vehicle.
Yeah.
Until I also downloaded a mod. I think it's called...
Classic Adam. I'm always on mods.com.
Going back to the third Battlefront game, the original third Battlefront game, it took a bunch of stuff that they...
Were gonna do,
and it tries to insert it into Battlefront 2.
Is it Battlefront 2 that has like a level that they remove pretty late in development, like Kashyyyk or something like that?
Kashyyyk is in the game, but they... I don't know if that... Yeah.
Mm. I feel like there's like an area that they removed.
Kind
of similar. Unless I'm thinking of Knights of the Old Republic 2, which definitely had content cut. And then when they recently released the Nintendo Switch port, they're like, well, how did they cut content back in?
That's cool.
And then they recently announced, no, we're not.
That's awesome as well.
Yeah. Knights of the Old Republic is a franchise not in a great state at the moment because that reboot they announced, not looking red hot.
Not looking too hot, yeah.
Yeah. I'd like fire the studio start again is what I'm hearing.
That's really
unfortunate.
Through
the gamer grapevine.
Mr. Nintendo told you about it.
Yeah, Mr. Nintendo's like, even though this is a Sony production, I've been emailing Mr. Sony and I don't know what's going on.
Mr. Sony, Mr. Nintendo in a
Coats?
Secret love triangle.
No, Mr. Nintendo and Mr. Microsoft are friends.
Yeah.
And they...
I said secret love
Mr. Nintendo
triangle.
Loves Mario and no one else.
That's the truth. I'm still here. This episode is going long, so I will have to leave soon.
That's fair enough, Mario. How many thumbs out of my friend?
What is it out again?
Five thumbs.
I'm going to give it 4.5.
Nice.
Four thumbs in that one part.
Yeah, where the game got too hard.
Yeah. Fair enough. I get it, dude.
I got to play this game again.
Yeah, me too.
The mid-2000s Star Wars games are pretty wild because there's Galaxy at War, there's Battlefront 2, but then there's also Star Wars Bounty Hunter, where you play as Jango Fett.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's also another one that's like a bit darker, I think. It's like a squad-based first-person shooter.
The Genosis level in the campaign, you get to start as Boba Fett.
Yeah.
And I kept using the jetpack, and there's a lot of open spaces. I kept jumping into the water accidentally.
See? Because the jetpack just goes up.
Every time. No, you can angle yourself in the game. Every time I did it, I would, every time I fell into the water, because you stop playing as Boba Fett, Jango Fett, whichever one, I would restart the map because I wanted to do the entire game as him.
That's fair.
That rules.
It was worth it.
Yeah, fair enough. Absolutely.
You get a flamethrower.
That's cool, dude.
Yeah.
I dig it. Nice.
Is that someone at the door?
Oh, he's knocking this time.
Oh, hello.
Hey, everybody, it's me, Mr. Wister Wads.
Wister Wads, you're back.
That's right, I'm the Wario of Mr. Wads. Wah! That's the first way you've done Mr. Wads. Yeah. Anyway, I got some ads for you. Here you go.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Thank you, Mr. Ads.
Thank
See you around.
Thank you, Whistler Ads.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, excuse me. What the hell am I saying?
Hi, Whistler Ads.
Yeah.
Actually, hearing that Mr. Ads has got Thumb Cramps a bit of a lucrative deal in the coming weeks.
Yeah, so that's true. I've heard that from Mr. Ads too. Yeah.
Maybe some kind of juice we can drink.
Yeah. Next month's going to be
a drinkable
just
delight.
Yeah.
Sellout month.
Yeah. Oh, that's the dream theme for Thumb Cramps. Yeah. If we could get like 6 ads a week. Whoa,
baby. For whoever. We don't care.
We really don't care.
Yeah, got no scruples.
And speaking of people not caring, it's time to head over to the thumbcrampspod@gmail.com inbox to see what people have emailed in. Yeah. Now, this is a very important email.
Okay.
It's a part two.
Oh, okay.
And we got this just after we recorded last week's episode. This has been sitting hot in our inbox for 10 days.
I'm excited. Wow.
And it's a follow-up to this email.
Okay.
So originally, this email has been read on the show before, but this is where it all
just
started.
Just to give people the context.
This is from Saria.
Oh.
Hey-o. Would it be taking the video game's boyfriend bit a bit too far if I tattooed your initials in a heart on my leg? I have a machine and think it would be hilarious. And yes, I will send a photo if I do it.
And I think when we read out the email, we said, Saria, get in your machine. Tattoo yourself.
And Saria, I'm happy to say, has emailed back. It is done.
Oh!
Here is a photo. Feel free to tweet it or whatever. This was only my second time tattooing myself, and I think it came out pretty well considering.
Saria, that's freaking awesome.
Oh, and Saria also mentions that, Jackson, how do you feel about recently being named Ho of the Week in the podcast BigSoftTitty.png?
It's an honor to be nominated and to win the title. It's a dream come true.
And if any listeners of this show want to check out that episode, it's from episode 247, Don't Like You, in the BigSoftTitty.png feed.
Ho of the Week. Wow.
Featuring, which is hosted by Tom Walker and Debbie Lardner, who have both been on Thumb Cramps
before.
Yes,
that's
true. Friend of the show.
So sorry. We will post that tattoo.
That's awesome, Saria. That's so cool.
On all our social medias, which also feels like a time, and I'll mention this at the end of the show too, but Thumb Cramps has expanded.
Yeah, that's true.
We have now taken part with Twitter or X. Maybe that's not the best place to only have social media for a podcast. Yeah. So we've recently joined Instagram.
That's
in 2023.
Right.
We're hearing it's a good time to get into Instagram.
It's a great time
to
get into Instagram.
Now that you've joined it, what they're going to start calling it, Instagame.
Yeah.
Instagame.
Whoa.
So listeners, if you want to follow us on Thumb Cramps Pod on Instagram, that's our handle. We haven't posted much yet, but we will be posting there weekly, much like we do on Twitter.
Exactly.
And sharing little fan arts and little silly
little
gaming
drawings
things.
And photos of our faces if we got nothing else to do.
expect some Instagram streams of you playing Farmville.
Yes!
Is Farmville still around?
It's surely gotta be, right?
That's cool, dude. I love to hear that.
But I think here's the tattoo.
Oh, that's awesome, Saria.
Saria, it's good to go in the machine, and thank you so much.
Thank
we
you
will
for going
post
in the
it
machine. Yeah, we'll chuck that up. Where on our it Instagram, Thumb Cramps Pod.
Yeah!
Where did they tattoo it?
On their leg.
Mm.
On their leg. Where? That is a, that could be a very painful place to tattoo. Someone has suffered. Someone has suffered more than either of you ever have for this podcast.
Dude, I just played Mario and Sonic at the Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games.
You were there because you wanted to be.
Well, you saying they didn't want this tattoo? It's beautiful.
It's a beautiful tattoo.
And as their video game boyfriends, we appreciate
we
their dedication
it
to our love.
That's so kind.
I'm glad you do.
Yeah.
This next email, subject, all caps, JD, listen.
Oh, no, you're in trouble.
And they don't, I'm going to break a little rule here, because they haven't signed off with anything.
Okay.
But the name that comes up on their email address is not their real name.
Okay.
Because it's a smoker, but spelled like Ahsoka. And their picture is of Ahsoka from Star Wars with the world's biggest joint in their mouth.
Can we see the picture? Yeah.
It's little because it's a contact photo, but it's in the top left
hand. Lots of great pictures this podcast.
That's so awesome.
But yeah, JD, listen. And then the email just says, all lowercase. John Dusha looks exactly like Terrence, the big red angry bird. Look him up. Jackson, you da best. Sent from my iPhone.
Terrence.
So that's Terrence awesome. Is the main angry bird from Angry Birds.
Oh, we're getting back to Angry Birds references. Yeah,
that rules. That's a perfect email.
Yeah. Do you like, because this is Jackson, you da best?
Yeah.
And do they mean in the movie or in the game?
I can see it. I can't see it. They definitely have the same expression. Yeah. That's awesome.
I think I'm looking at a picture of them from the movie.
Yeah.
Big, the
who's
villain.
Who's that?
Apparently Terrence from the movie.
I thought Terrence was the main bird.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe that's actually, no, maybe because there's two red birds in Angry Birds. Okay. Terrence must be the bigger red bird.
Yeah, villain from first Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Kingpin.
Kingpin, yeah. True. Big that vibes.
And look, we'll just continue the theme of what we've been doing recently, which is people sharing their embarrassing video game stories. This person doesn't sign off with a name, therefore is a coward.
Coward alert.
Wah, wah. Wah, wah. Coward email.
Let's get the same...
coward.
Coward?
They should also have to suffer for this podcast.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm going to use the coward alarm anytime someone says an email that's a coward. So listen out for that, keen-eared listeners. Subject, buying games is embarrassing. Dear Thumbos, buying games is the worst. Mm-hmm. I was at a dinner with my parents and my wife.
Okay.
My wife and parents wanted to stop and get a treat from Target.
Nice.
My wife and I decided to grab Kirby and the Forgotten Lands and Tears of the Kingdom while we were there. So while my wife and parents are perusing the frozen treat section at
Target?
We don't have that.
You can buy like candles and shoes at Target.
You can buy a Mars bar or a Snickers bar.
Sometimes at the checkout.
You can't get frozen stuff.
Not at our Target.
No ice creams or whatever.
You live in some kind of crazy Target utopia. while my parents are perusing the frozen treat section, I go and get the games. The back of the store has the games locked up. That happened in our Target,
yeah, we
too.
Get that too.
And I need to find an employee to unlock it. I go find an employee. By the time I return to the game section with the employee, a line has formed waiting for an employee to help other customers.
Oh, no.
The employee turns around and says they're grabbing a manager, and I have to stand there with this line of people knowing that they will see me buy games. Minutes later, a very exhausted and annoyed manager comes with the keys. She gets the games for me, but tells me that they will need to meet up with me to actually purchase the games.
Oh, my God.
My wife is waiting with my parents up front with their frozen treats, waiting for me to check out together with them. They decide to check out and eat their treats outside while I waited for the manager.
Oh, my God.
Several other customers who were in the back with me have come up front and are also waiting for the manager, but I'm the only one who bought games. One of these people is a teenager goofing around on an electric scooter.
Cool.
They are very agitated for waiting. Once the manager finally comes up front and starts checking me out, the teenager decides to just drive past all of us with all the other merchandise they had and just leave the store. The manager has to stop checking me out to deal with that, and I have to stand there while a manager deals with the teenager and a line behind me of very annoyed customers. Finally, another employee checks me out, and I can finally leave the store.
Oh, my God. There's so many, like, time-sensitive things that, like, the frozen treats.
Missed out on the frozen treats.
And they're probably melting while they wait for you, making it even worse.
Surely gaming is soft.
Yeah. And then you come out, and you're just holding two games,
and
you're like, ugh.
Games that look like they're games for babies.
Yeah.
Too, exactly.
Oh, you're having fun with your little game.
Oh, you got your little Kirby game for
babies. Oh, he's shaped like a friend.
Oh, it's like,
and you got that little Zelda game where you play as that Zelda guy.
Yeah, he's cool for little babies. Thought it was for the kiddies, but if you have a good time with it, okay.
P.S. I love Sans Pants. Come to America, you cowards. Crazy for a coward to call a coward a coward.
But a coward would know.
Does it have the same rules as if you smelt it, you dealt it?
Most things
takes
do.
Takes one to know one.
Yeah, that's true.
coward.
And now to the final part of the show where we head
my
to
favorite part of the
our
show.
Review section of the podcast and read out a couple of reviews. Last time you were on the show, Adam, we probably didn't do this, but it's a thing we do now.
All right,
and
cool.
We strongly encourage.
You have to do it.
Yeah, by encourage, we demand.
This is what it costs to listen
to
this
the cost
show.
Of thumb cramps is that you have to give us 5 stars on whatever platform you're listening to this podcast and write a nice review like these people have done.
Oh, reviews of the show.
Reviews of the
what
show.
What are you thinking, man?
Game reviews.
Oh, that is the show.
Well, you can read fan ones.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's right. Wrong.
I hate Alarm Adam.
Siren Head Adam.
So this is from Jaked and Baked.
Good
5 stars. An offering to Mario. It's 4:30 a.m. and I've awoken in a cold sweat. I vaguely remember being physically threatened by Mario. Must write a review.
That's an awesome little window into somebody's life. Sort of had the vibes of like a noir detective, which I liked.
And this is from Rickopotamus Rex.
Awesome name again.
5 stars. But the subject says 5 thumbs. I like it when they talk about games.
That is good.
And the reviewer just simply says, and this is something that we can all relate to, I'm glad this podcast is safe for schools because it always seems to be playing in the car whenever I take my son somewhere. He likes it when they mention characters he knows. I hope hearing this doesn't ruin his tiny little brain like I'm sure it has mine. And that's beautiful. Thumb cramps brings families together.
Do you want to just quickly, for this person's son, fire off some characters he might know?
Mario, Luigi,
Sonic the Hedgehog, Crash Bandicoot,
Steve the Minecraft,
the dogs Fortnite from James,
Pound Pops, what's it called?
What's Bluey,
that? SpongeBob,
Bluey, oh yeah, Bluey, Bingo,
Bingo, Dad, Donna? Bluey,
Clyde from Grand Theft Auto 3. Yoshi. Yoshi.
A Tinky Winky.
Yeah, that's Lola. True. The whole Teletubby crew. Lego.
Lego.
Dora.
Dora the Explorer. Yeah. Backpack. Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse.
Kids
it's
like Mickey
one.
Mouse.
Mickey Mouse.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man's a good one.
Spider-Man.
Batman.
I think
Batman.
That's all the characters.
I think that's all the guys.
Yeah. I hope that your son enjoyed that segment of the show.
Yeah.
Like, we've enjoyed making this show.
That's true.
And one of the very important parts of making this show, Jackson, was inviting our good friend and guest, Adam Carnevale, to join us. And Adam, if people want to hear you outside of this podcast, where can they find you?
I host the D&D podcast.
I thought you were going to say the Tokyo 2020 Olympics for some reason.
I host D&D's for Nerds, yeah. D&D or D&Ampersand, D&D's for Nerds. If you just search it on Google, I'm sure you'll find it. Yeah. If you want to go to the SansPants website, we'd appreciate that as well.
Yeah.
On pretty much any podcasting app. Also, I do Beyond the Map, which is
a lot of fun.
Rather than Dungeons & Dragons, it's a World of Darkness system. A little bit darker. I like to describe it as a horror anthology, but it gets a little silly sometimes.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's truly a beautiful tease. And on socials, where can we find you?
At Retro Archetype.
Nice.
That's good.
And should we alert people douchers to what's coming for them next month?
Oh, we absolutely should. But before we alert them to that, let's just quickly remind her in case you skipped the emails for some reason.
Yeah, you dog.
We are now on Instagram. So follow us at ThumbCrampsPod. We will be posting there. You can also DM us there and we'll read those like emails if we get any good ones.
That's true.
And Jackson.
Yeah.
The announcement for next month. Because obviously, Mario, we have to say goodbye
to you. We have
to
say goodbye to Mario. But the next month...
Adios!
Adios to you too, Mario. Obviously, the next month, August, it's got us in a kind of contemplative mood. Yeah. We're thinking, there's a lot of games out there that people say are really good.
Some of the most popular games in the world are games that we've never played.
But here, we're thinking, we're scratching our heads.
And we're asking the very important question, are these games good-gust?
So join us next month for Are These Games Good-gust?
When we play some of the biggest games in the world that we've never touched.
Yeah.
I look forward to you saying, are we good? Is it good-gust a lot?
That'll be the main question of good-gust, which is the shortening of the special.
These games good-gust will be starting next week. Thank you to Mario for joining us.
Thank you, Mario. Goodbye.
He's already gone. He said adios and he left. And thank you to Adam for joining us. And thank you to the listeners for sticking with us for what could turn out to be one of the longest episodes of Thumb Cramps ever.
Yeah.
And until next month, keep on gaming, everyone. Follow us on Instagram. Send us an email. Give us 5 stars. Play some damn games!
Ha!
Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.